It's only 3 1-star reviews, so.
Is that why you were laughing?
Yeah. Because, oh, and also because this one's funny. Okay. Let's roll.
Now it's garbage. Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott.
And I'm Joe. Can we say Happy New Year?
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
There's 2 episodes before this, but yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's right.
We recorded those earlier.
I can't keep track. Just, you know, Happy New Year anyway. I'm going to be Happy New Year-ing till March.
Nice. Hey, guess what?
What?
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and the often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is it the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And we're back. You know, we recorded 2 episodes earlier in the year, last year. Mm-hmm. And we're playing catch up. So we're back and we got an unintentional just selected films because during Christmas, you bought me 2 of the most randomly bizarre films that I'm not really sure why you got them, but they're movies that we saw a very, very long time ago and had fond memories of. So when you got these for me, I said, oh, we're revisiting these on the show.
I mean, I had to buy them. Not only were the prices amazing, they were like, I mean, almost given to me as a gift for free.
And I wonder why. Well, here's the thing, right? Unintentionally, usually we come up with a theme monthly. Mm-hmm. And we were recording randomly with a friend last year. And we recorded 2 episodes. And then when I got these movies, I said, oh, we're doing these. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Accidentally, there's a theme. These all 4 of these movies have a theme of being trapped in a location that they can't escape, and it's the worst situation you can imagine.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, the first movie was a pool. Uh-huh. The second movie was a possessed train of some sort. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's debatable. We have no idea what the hell's going on there. But this time, we have another trapped in a location that is hellish beyond all imagine. Today we are talking about a movie that's tagline is it has 9 lives. You only have 1. We are of course talking about 1988's Uninvited, or as it should be known, like it is in Norway, Killer Cat.
I like Killer Cat.
Killer Cat's perfect, actually. That's the title. It has a 4.5 on IMDb from a 3,000 reviewers.
It's tragic.
It was directed by Graydon Clark, who was the director of the Joe Don Baker flicks that we've seen, Final Justice and Joysticks. Unfortunately, Joe Don Baker isn't in this film, and he really could have been. It would have been fantastic. It had a budget of $200,000. $75,000, apparently. We don't really know the facts for sure, but the rumor is that $75,000 of that went to 3 of the main actors.
Okay. I was going to say, I can believe it. Yeah.
$15,000 of that went to the yacht. They only had 2 weeks with it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this movie stars bad movie all-stars. I mean, this is the cast is just made up of bad movie all-stars. Yes. Although I would say that both George Kennedy and Glue Gulager.
Clue.
What'd I say?
Glue.
I always say glue. I mean, that's
how he is the glue that holds bad movies together a lot of the time.
I guess you could say that. You say clue?
Clue.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Bad movie are all stars, but you can say that George Kennedy and Clue Gulager are both, were in a lot of films that we like. Oh, but then also in the biggest ton of trash you've ever seen.
For sure. I mean, Clue is in Return of the Living Dead, which is one of my favorite movies ever. It's like a treasure to me. Yeah. I love it.
I mean, George Kennedy's in a ton of classics. He's in a ton, and then he's in a bunch of trash. I mean, we've running joke is that there are maybe five or six, and I think next week we're going to have another all-star in our next movie. And there's a running joke that when our friends come over and we watch movies, accidentally there is a Mount Rushmore of bad movie actors, and I would say George Kennedy's
on that.
Is on that yes. Mount Rushmore, because he has been in some of the biggest trash we've ever watched together.
Yep. Jesus, do you believe this guy? We've got to go now.
Yeah, also stars Alex Cord. He's mostly known for television, not a lot that we have seen.
Goodbye, Mr. Graham.
Oh, please call me Walter.
But he was big for a while, and then he started doing movies like this, mm-hmm. which is, you know, unfortunate. But those are the three that were paid the $75.
I mean, I get it. Yeah.
The rest of these people all were working like minimum wage. Yeah, so
I can see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, go ahead.
Well, the other cast members that, there's not many, because this is a small location. Mm-hmm. We have Toni Hudson. She's playing Rachel. She's the captain. Mm-hmm. She wasn't just one of the guys in Leatherface. We have Eric Larson, who's playing Martin. He's the nice guy. He was in Demon Wind. So again, bad movie all-stars. Yeah.
Except Just One of the Guys is not a bad movie.
That's true. I put both. Fantastic. I actually think Leatherface is pretty decent. I know, like, that's the one that everybody is iffy on. I kind of like that one.
We like that one.
Claire Carey, she plays Bobby. She was in Waxwork and Zombie High. Sherry Shattuck, she plays Susie, or AKA the Cat Girl. She was in Death Spa and Arena.
Mm-hmm.
We have, a couple other people. Rob Estes is playing Corey. He is in Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge.
Rob Estes? Is that the same Rob Estes that was in Melrose Place?
Is he? I didn't look it up.
Are you serious? That was him. I knew that I recognized. It was killing me. So I was like, okay, he's a 90s star too.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't look up TV shows.
Yeah, he was on Melrose Place forever. He had those amazing blue eyes. He was a big deal. He was a really big deal. He was on 90210, and then he went on to Melrose Place. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, now that he's saying it, I see it.
Yeah.
Completely. I didn't even think about
looking
that
up. Took
me
a minute. He just looked like an 80s, you know, just a typical 80s dude. But now I can see it. Holy crap.
This also stars Toonces, the cat who can drive a car. We don't know the information on the cat actor in this movie.
Oh, God.
But it is the goodest of cats.
Okay, can we? I'm just going
to
interrupt you.
How do we start this? How do you want to start?
I just need to say something, okay?
Please.
I am not, and I know that I'm probably going to get booed, whatever.
Really?
I do not like cats.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, you're going to talk about cat.
I don't like cats, okay? But everything that happens in this movie is just, with, you know, with the cat, it's just beyond brilliant. I love it. It's so ridiculous. And I'm not like, you know, I feel like cats are always trying to like get away from you. Like, I just think they hate people and they just don't want to be around people at all. And it shows in this movie.
Not
for
necessarily,
sure.
Necessarily though, with cats.
They're bitches. They're total bitches. They will, like, you can feed them the most gourmet food and love them and just care for them, and they will still scratch your freaking eyeballs out.
No, that's not true.
They are mean.
Cat lovers know cats are good to them.
Hmm. All right.
Cats can sense when you hate them. Well, let's just say that.
Well, you know what? I guess that's I had a past traumatic experience with a cat.
I think we've all had, but with dogs too, we've all had experiences on either side, right? All animals.
I guess. Well, I've had my fair share with animals, yes. But I'm not a big fan of the cat, you know.
I don't think they make a movie with ostriches, but we might find that and we'll have that conversation.
You don't
too.
Need to bring that up, okay? I ain't right in the head over that ostrich thing.
Well, here's the deal with cats. I'm allergic, and cats kind of love me. They always want to snuggle me. They always want to come on me.
Because
it's like they know
want to kill you.
I guess, or they know that I like them. I don't mind cats. I actually think I was a cat in a former life.
This is weird because every time I've had some kind of experience.
If you believe in that thing.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes you do cat-like things.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that. But I will say that.
You remember that time you threw me out the window and I landed on my feet?
You did land on your feet that time I threw you. Yes, I remember. So, yes, you do cat-like things. But I got to tell you, my sister had a cat, okay? I would just be sitting on the couch watching TV and that motherfucker would come over and just start scratching my legs like a scratching post.
Yeah.
And I'd be screaming bloody murder with blood dripping down my freaking leg. And this cat will not let up. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know that I dislike you. And that's probably why you're over here. But honestly, like I would watch that cat when she went on vacation and I would go in and feed that the most putrescent can of whatever.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Okay, let me tell you, I am a decent human being if I can open that thing and not throw up. Okay, it's filth. It's equivalent to tuna, and that is the bane of my existence. And I would feed this cat, and this motherfucker still tried to hurt me. So, like, that's what I'm telling you. I don't like cats. I don't trust them. I think they're trying to murder us. But I will say this cat in this movie was cute.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of Morris. Remember Morris, the cat from the old cat commercials?
Yeah.
We're old. I actually had two cats, and one of the cats we had was one of the nicest cats on the earth.
Was it called Jelly Bean? What was it?
No, not even close. Where did you get that from?
Toe Jam Earl?
No, it was Lady and the Tramp.
Oh,
we had
the
two
Tramp.
Cats. One was a girl cat who was very young, and then the older gray cat, Tramp. Was the nicest cat ever. This cat was so respectful of the family that he would not go in the door unless we all went in first. He was a gentleman.
Because he didn't trust your ass.
No, he was smart. We all love that cat. We love that cat. Unfortunately, Lady was a little bitch.
Well.
And was hell cat.
I personally think that they're going to smother you in your sleep. I don't like them. Anyway, but I will say the one in this is really cute. It's a cute one.
Well, how do we start talking about this movie? Because on the show, we, of course, talk out a movie. We talk out. We destroy or discuss and rip apart this plot or, you know, at least rampage through it. And so this one's an interesting one because from the moment go, this movie's insane.
Well, I have a quote for you that might just, you know, it's a good start off.
Oh, wow.
We're going to survive. We're going to get off this boat. We're going to get it started, and we're going to survive.
I thought you were going to say, I got a couple here, too. Let's say, I got the poison in my blood. I got the poison in my blood. Or I also have, he's shark bait now.
Or how about, I need the food. I'm literally starving to death.
We can do this all day. I don't like you. I don't like you punk kids who think the world owes you a favor. Or want some of this sweet little puss? There's another one like that too. Where's the other one I wrote? There's a lot of puss jokes in this movie. I wrote, here, pussy, have some food.
I'll start us out. Now, this is going to bring us into a couple of questions that I had.
Well, okay. I mean, the movie starts out. Let's just get to the how this movie starts because, okay, first.
There's a couple of plots going on here, mind you. At least two plots. At least two.
I mean, that's a stretch, but I'll go with it. I'll go with it.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say the movie starts out in the director who's acting in the opening here, playing the lead scientist.
That's the director?
Yes, that's the director. He's terrible. Everybody is in this movie, pretty much. They start on him, and he rented out a veterinary hospital.
Really?
And they filmed this opening in that hospital, that little tiny vet office.
Oh, my God.
And the parking garage, apparently. They had a parking garage. Well, this scientist, he's like, the cat they are testing on has something inside of it growing, and they think it's like a tumor. They're like, what is this foreign thing that's inside the cat? That's the big question here. They're like, I don't know what it is, but let's open up the cat and see if it's a tumor. So when they go get the cat freaks out, And now this is the moment where we learn that this movie is all about overdubbing sound effects.
Yes.
Because from here on, the cat will alert you that he's in the scene by doing the exact same meow. Or in this opening scene, he's doing the
yelp.
Yeah, he's doing the someone shaking the cat and recording it. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It's just they found a bunch of recorded cat fight sound effects.
Yeah, like somebody has a needle and is pricking his little toe beans and hurting him because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like meh, like he's screaming.
Yeah, and it doesn't end.
Like 20 minutes.
It does not. And this opening, it goes on forever.
Oh, God.
And, or it goes meow, 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 a lot. It gets loose and they're like, they hit an alarm, which is the cheesiest sounding alarm ever. And they're like, now first off, he complains that there's radiation.
Code red. ST-618 has escaped. Use extreme caution. Radiation security.
So they call like these radiation guys, these guys in these apparent radiation outfits, but they are just big silver outfits.
They're just like hazmat suits that look like googly eyes.
They look like a bowling ball where you put your fingers in a bowling ball.
It's weird.
And it's just, and one of them is funny because when one of them gets killed, it actually looks like a chinchock with the black thing. And they're saying, first off, they're saying it's radiated, whatever this creature is. But they were just handling it with no gloves or anything.
Right. They didn't even have any, like, anything on their face, any masks on or anything. So I'm like, wait a minute. Are they going to turn, like, start glowing?
Well, I know. And if you haven't seen this movie, what you don't know yet, what is about to happen is the most baffling thing that you're ever going to witness. And then this movie just doesn't stop with that. So what happens is this cat gets down a staircase. And those guys in the hazmat suits, again, they're just like heat-resistant outfits.
Yeah.
They corner him in the staircase. And when the one guy goes to reach for it, that's when we witness what this movie's going to be. And I think that we can just talk about this thing forever. Because the cat, apparently, is not a cat. There is a creature which can only be explained as a hand puppet that was a reject from a troll film.
Oh my God. Okay. Yes. But it does look like that one from, like, in the Ghoulies movie.
There's
the
like one a
that's
one.
Like a hairy one. And it's brown. It's like a beige color. And it looks just like that. It's like they borrowed that from the set of that movie. Because it just looks like it. So we have a cat here. They trank the cat and he goes down. But not before this monster comes out of its mouth.
Yeah, there's a close-up of a cat's mouth ripping open and a creature popping out like to say hello.
Right. Now, it looks like another mutated cat, which I think that's what they were trying to do, like to impregnate this cat or whatever they were doing with
There was some kind of test with radiation on the animal and they thought it grew a tumor.
It must be a tumor. You think it could be a teratoma?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Never seen anything like this. Look, just bring the subject in and we'll cut it open. See what's growing inside of it.
I thought that they were trying to, like, impregnate the cat and then see if...
never know. We'll never know what was happening here.
It was so confusing.
Because that creature that comes out... Now, if we took a normal-sized cat and there was a creature piloting that cat, and that cat was able to crawl out of its mouth, of a cat's mouth, that creature could only be the size of a palm.
Right, like the palm of your hand, yeah.
So that palm of your hand is another little creature.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing is able to rip three men to shreds.
But the best part about this is, can I ask you, okay, so the thing comes out of the cat's mouth.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, what does it do? Maybe, okay, just say a stretch would be it biting their throats out, right? But The amount of blood spatter that was it. What it is it a crew member off camera throwing a can of paint on the wall, making it look like blood. But that was black. That was not red. It was black paint that they smeared all over the wall. I'm like, that's not how people bleed.
Yeah.
So that was weird. I was like, oh God. Okay. So they're trying to say that, this is my question. Were they trying to say that the people were working on the cat were radiated too? Or I don't know.
No, I don't think it was supposed to be black.
Was,
I think
was
that
black.
I think what happened there was we were supposed to think that it was under some kind of emergency lights.
Oh,
because there was an alarm going off, which is the funniest sound effect ever. And we're in some kind of hallway, like a staircase, you know, the staircase going outside instead of using an elevator. You know, it's like that really dark area.
And cats can open doors.
Yeah, we don't even know how it got down there.
It got in a staircase.
And it got out because it gets to the parking garage now.
And runs away.
And no, it actually, the rest of the scientists come down there to get him. And there is a guard, the head scientist, who's the director. And there is, I think, the other scientist, and they all go. Now, he's like, the guard, everybody's acting is so funny.
There's also a security guard that gets killed.
The security guards are looking around, and he goes, what is it? What am I looking for? Is it radiated? And he's like, shut up and give me your gun.
The building's secure. Now, Paul, no matter what happens, we can't let that cat out of here.
Dr. Gray, you saw what just happened at that stairwell.
Just shut up about that. Right now, we gotta kill that cat. Give me your gun. Give me your gun.
Right. And so the head scientist just starts wandering off. And we're like, where's the guards? Why aren't they with him? Well, we see a shadow again of the hand puppet come out of the cat and just all of a sudden hear a scream.
Oh, can I say something about this? I love that shot. I love that shot.
You love it?
Yes. It is so 80s. It's an 80s thing to do. Like when you can't really show something because you don't have the budget and you want to make it like, you know, creepy. The shadow is really fun. I liked it.
It's funny because they have the budget because we watched this thing come out of this thing's mouth at least 10 times in the
show. Yeah. Well, I mean, they did. Okay. This movie has everything you possibly want from the 1980s.
Okay.
It does.
I like
that.
It has
George Kennedy, has after-school special music / lovemaking music from the 80s. '80s bimbos, '80s kissing slurps.
Well, I know something that'll help.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. This is just what the doctor ordered.
Practical effects, 80s fashion, overacting, hair, and Klugelager. It's got all of it.
I guess that's true.
And so when you have a budget of, what was it, $200,000?
$200,000.
Okay.
Which we should cut down from the $75,000 and the $15,000.
Okay, so take that off. How much are you really working with? Did the director even take a paycheck?
I'm thinking if they all made a minimum wage.
I mean, if I was asked to be in this, if I can go back in time to 1988 and I was asked to even play one of the bimbos, and, you know, yes, they are bimbos. I'm calling them that because they are. If I was asked to play one of them, I would be like, I'll do it for free. That's how this movie makes me feel. I'm like, this is perfection for the 80s.
Oh, boy.
It just sums up the 80s. It's trash, but it's just everything in it is so 80s and fun. I can't. I have so much to say about this movie. Anyway, continue.
Well, I'm getting back to the plot. It's just that the security guard is killed off screen, and then the doctor is attacked by the cat coming out of what I think is a car window.
Yeah.
And then it just bites his throat out.
It's coming out of a car window.
Yes.
I was like, okay. Now,
I wrote, there's a couple scenes. This cat, again, we shouldn't even call it a cat because it seems to be some kind of sentient alien, because there it has hates and it has likes.
It does.
There's a couple times where this cat literally seems to have an agenda. And I'm not really sure if that's what their intent was.
I feel like all cats have an agenda. But
let's get to its first agenda.
Okay. Okay.
Because after it kills everybody at this hospital, it runs off. And the next thing we see is a nice gentleman at a mobile gas station feeding it.
Yeah, and the cat's totally happy.
And the cat's super happy about getting milk. And this guy's, like, not working. You think he's, like, a homeless guy, right? But then, because he's on the side of a gas station. But then some guy comes up and goes, hey, do you have change for a 10? And he goes, yeah, sure. And he gets up to go give it to him. And then the guy jacks him up and takes... Okay, now this is where I don't know what's happening here. Is he taking his wallet? Is he taking his keys and getting free gas? Whatever it is, he gets in a car and immediately goes off and it says, I got more than I thought we could. But I'm like, what did you get? The right. change for the 20?
But like,
he doing?
None of that scene, it makes any sense at all. Like, why is this guy? Okay, so he's robbing this poor man.
But
okay.
Did he rob him or did he go inside and clear out the safe? What did he get?
I don't know. They don't show us. And what was the reasoning anyway? It went nowhere.
Well, the reasoning is you do not attack gas station mobile employees. This cat will get fucking revenge. Because somehow this cat now glides into this guy's pickup truck as they're speeding away. And while they're driving and looking at their loot, It is now, and I'm going to point this out again. It is a normal sized cat with another cat creature inside of its mouth.
Yep.
Inside of its body. It's piloting the cat.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now in this scene, this thing is a size of at least.
It looks like a dog. El Chupacabra.
It's huge. And it comes out of the back window of the pickup truck and kills these guys.
Yeah.
As they're driving. And then we see... The cat kills them so good that their truck transforms into a different truck and goes off a hill and rolls down. And we get to hear its glass shatter at least 25 times to the point where whoever was doing the sound effects just got sick of it and just kept pushing the button.
I think they fell asleep.
Yeah, when
they
kept pushing
it. Yeah, his finger just got stuck on the button when he fell asleep because... Yeah. It was the most ridiculous sound effect I have heard in a movie. It just keeps going,
smash, 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 smash. And at one point, it just goes, smash, 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 smash. Yeah, I just was like, fuck it. Just
it was so fun.
So then the cat got revenge for the mobile employee. So now this is our first moment where like, this cat's got an agenda. If you piss him off, he's coming for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is the John Wick of cats.
So that is that's the plot number one. The cat is mutated and sick. There's something inside, like a, what do you call it? A parasite inside the cat. It's a
full other cat creature.
It's a full,
it grew a second being.
So that thing is inside the cat. So that's plot number one. Now
we cut to the second.
We go to plot number two, where we meet. Okay, it's Suzanne and Bobby, correct? Okay, Suzanne and Bobby, and we see these two girls wearing nothing, just little teeny tiny bikinis with like just shredded t-shirts over it. It's pointless. There's nothing going on here except bikinis. So they're in front of this hotel and they're like, oh, you know, let's go inside and see if we can get a room, which is very random and whatever, because this is our first introduction to these two girls.
And you must point out that this is the hottest, best location in the world to hang out on the best beaches of all time, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale spring break. No place like it in the world, agree? No contest.
I just can't.
The best. There is, as some guy says, nothing better.
Yeah, as Floridians, I could tell you, it's almost the armpit of the universe. Anyway, all right, so we're in the luscious Fort Lauderdale at a hotel with these two girls, Bobby and Suzanne, that we just met, and... They are trying to get a room at this hotel, and the guy that's working the front desk tells them, get lost, you look like a bunch of bimbos, get out of here. And, of course, there's some old man who happens to be the hotel owner, says, oh no, they're with me. So I'm like, oh God, here we go. You know, which I already knew this is coming, but it's like, okay, this is the dirty old man type.
This is the rich character. The rich obviously character. The hotel's like, oh, I didn't know it was you, Mr. Graham.
Yeah.
So this is Alex Cord playing Walter Graham.
Yeah. And he's like been on the cover of Forbes magazine. Like he's super duper rich.
He's on the cover of Money.
Oh, excuse me. Money.
Money.
It's the ugly cousin of Forbes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're reject cousin. Got it. So he's got a lot of money, right? So obviously, okay.
It's not just the clever title.
No, it's not. It's not a clever title. No.
So stupid. So he says, come to dinner with me.
Yeah, come to dinner. Oh, we're not dressed. We have these, you know, bikinis on. It's okay. Yeah. Right? Of course it is. Because he just wants to look at their boobies anyway. So then dinner gets interrupted by George Kennedy. And who else?
Clue.
Our Clue. Now, can I just tell you, they done him wrong.
No.
Yes, they did.
He did himself wrong, Joe.
What do you mean?
He made the decision to put those fake teeth in. His son made them.
Oh my God. Is this because he wanted to look unrecognizable so that he didn't want to be part of this movie?
He has Coke bottle glasses on and fake teeth.
And he's goofy as all get out.
He's always
goofy.
Wearing like a hat. And he's got a shirt under a suit jacket.
He looks like he lives in Fort Lauderdale.
Did you not recognize him for a few minutes?
Well, okay, I'm going to come clean as it is my second viewing of this. So
it's been a while, though, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, but when I first saw this movie, I did not realize it was him until he opened his mouth. And I was like, oh, that's his voice. Okay,
I thought you didn't notice him this time because about 10 minutes in, you went, they've done him wrong.
They did. I couldn't stop saying it. I was like, why? He's a bumbling fool. He is not a bumbling fool. But anyway.
I will also say that I love when George Kennedy walked in, he went, there's my boy. There he is.
Yeah, so these two fools go into this restaurant.
Can I say something real fast about George Kennedy before I'm sorry to interrupt? I just want to say that every time I see George Kennedy now, I see the scene in Naked Gun where he's playing with the Swedish suck machine in the one place. I see it every time. It's hard to unsee it. I don't know what it is. I only see his Naked Gun character.
I know. It's true. But you know how many movies we've seen with him?
I know, but that's the one that stands out.
It's crazy.
Maybe
it's
just because you hold on to the fond memories of a person.
Yeah,
and I guess that's what it is. My fond memories of Naked Gun being so funny.
Yeah. I mean, Naked Gun. I mean, it's hard when you watch Naked Gun not to even O.J. Simpson, we know that he's not a good human being.
All the stuff in there of him is so funny.
But when he, like his whole, you know, on the boat paint thing and, you know.
Oh, it's the best. Drugs,
sticking
Frank.
His foot in the goddamn bucket and just the whole oh no thing that he goes through. It's hysterical.
Yeah, it's hard to detach yourself from those characters.
Yeah.
And this, he's playing an asshole, like a big asshole.
He is, and I love it. I'm here for every moment of George Kennedy in this. Everything that he does in this movie makes me feel good. Every single thing. His acting is so atrocious in this movie. It's wonderful. It has surpassed any, like, I mean, I can watch it and laugh and feel warm about it. Instead of most bad movies that we watch, I'm like, oh, Jesus, it's freaking acting. I can't handle it no more. But him in this movie made me laugh. I loved it. He was just, you could tell it. Even he was just like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? I made 20 grand. What am I doing?
I would say that he's maybe one of the actors that's taking the most serious.
Do you really think that?
But yeah, because he seems to be acting. Everybody else doesn't. Like, Alex Cord is just, like, playing a douchebag drunk.
Yeah, but at least he was trying.
Clue is doing a character bit that's just goofy and weird.
I feel like the girl from Just One of the Guys was trying. I think she was trying.
She's the boat captain.
She's the boat captain. Okay. I think she was trying, and I think that Alex Cord, you know, he was an asshole douchebag, but he still was acting.
I don't know if it's like I mean, George Kennedy seems to be like, I'm going for it.
He hit,
or he's just mad.
Well, yeah, that's true. I feel like George Kennedy just hit the ludicrous speed button and was like,
true.
I'm going all in on this. Like, yeah. I don't give a shit. And that's why I totally appreciated him in this. I just appreciated it. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to earn that 20 grand. I'm going to earn it.
I don't like you. I don't like punk kids that think the world owes them a living.
So it was really, I loved it so much.
I guess the plot, though, is that he makes Alex Cord, this Graham guy, leave those girls and tells them when he's leaving, he tells them that they're supposed to meet him on a boat for a big party.
Yeah, it's supposed to be happening at midnight.
That's questionable. That doesn't make any sense for the next scene. Yeah.
But then we see him on the boat, on that yacht, with another guy, and his, Clue and George Kennedy are there.
Yeah, because the thing is that George Kennedy is getting him because they're getting antsy about this other guy. Apparently, he's some kind of guy in the government who they're helping pay off to make sure they can get away with the crimes that they're doing.
Right. Now, that's the plot number two. It has nothing to do with the cat. Nothing.
Well, no, there's two plots. The plot is Graham and his lackeys have to get away.
Uh-huh.
And there is the cat. And I guess you could say the third plot is there's a bunch of kids.
Well, yeah.
And that's it. Like, they're all plots that are going to converge. That's how you usually set up these characters in these horror movies,
well,
right?
Well, true,
you have a plot, and then there's the thing that gets thrown in to mess them all up.
Which is the cat,
And so they go on their boat at midnight, like what she said, come to the boat for a party at midnight, which is weird. That's because they're going to try to pay this guy off. But this is confusing because they're not there to pay him off. They just end up murdering this dude.
Yeah.
And they give him like $1 million and then they drown him.
Yeah.
And
why go
like,
through all that?
Why go through all that?
You know, if you're going to kill him in the long run, just do it and be done with it. Like, why just kick him off the boat? Like, I don't understand. Like, throw him into the water.
Yeah.
Why are you going through this whole scene and setting up? I mean, I guess the movie wanted us to know that this guy, Mr. Graham, is just a piece of shit and he's a bad man.
They're bad guys. Yeah.
Yeah, they're bad guys. Okay. So they're setting that up. Fine.
And Clue is their henchman. He's their guy who murders people, which is funny that they don't have a younger guy. They have an old man with Coke bottle glasses.
I know. And George Kennedy is no spring chicken either.
And well, he's a part of it. He's actually one of the business guys. It's the two main guys are the businessmen. And then Clue is like their lackey.
Right. Yeah.
So he jumps in a hot tub and murders this guy.
Yep.
And that's the plot. And so they basically say, well, we have to run away. But instead of like just leaving on the boat there, they go back to the hotel, which is like, yeah. Why did they go back to the hotel? And then the funniest plot, like what we find out is those girls didn't go to the party on the boat at
midnight. They were supposed to go at midnight.
They just cut to the next day and it's sun. And they're going to a lunch on the docks at this dock place. And they're meeting three guys. I guess the two girls are basically fooling around or dating or whatever with two of these guys in this group.
Editor's note, they just met.
Hey, you're right again, Corey. Check these two out. Help me, I'm in love.
And they seem to be coming our way.
Oh man, what are we gonna do?
Let's try to look bored.
Do what I do.
Hi. Mind if we sit down?
Of course. Be our guest.
Yeah.
There's three guys, and they, we kind of learn each one. One's a preppy guy who is the one that's trying to make it in business.
Mm-hmm.
Then his buddy, which is, you know, your typical crew in these 80s films.
Yeah.
You have the buddy who's the more party dude, and then you have the other straight-laced guy.
I'm telling you, 80s movies.
Yeah.
So, all cliches.
The straight-laced guy is the one that's single, of yep, course.
Of course.
And these girls are like, hey, we're going to go on a cruise on a yacht and have a party with this billionaire that we met, this millionaire.
Okay, but yeah, but that was supposed to be at midnight last night. So did exactly. Everyone fuck up the time?
I don't know like, why they said million. It's so weird. Unless they were suggesting
this.
The next night was the party.
No. No, he said it. He said midnight, but like, I feel like the editor should be fired. I mean, he only made like, you know, $300 on this movie,
true,
but still,
true.
It's like,
unless the director did it. I didn't look into that. He wrote this.
And you are coming to the party, right? Starts about midnight on my yacht. I'll send a limo back here to get you. Should be fun. Lots of interesting people.
Those kids are like, oh, we're going to go and meet this guy. And of course the one preppy guy is like, oh, I know who that is. And I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, he's a millionaire. Oh, my God, he's famous.
Oh, I'm going to be like him one day, that kind of a thing. So they, we're going to go on the cruise with them. Now, these two girls don't realize that millionaire wants to have sex with them. They're going to bring their boyfriends.
Okay, can I just say this I have to say it. I don't care. this is like typical, like, stupid bimbo shit. Like, now a millionaire invites you onto his yacht. Do you think for 2 seconds that that millionaire is not expecting anything from you?
Exactly.
Like, come on.
Really strange.
You know, especially like back then in the 80s where they were like, wee, you know, we don't give a shit about anything. We just want to party. Wee. And you're getting on this yacht for free, getting free food, free booze, you know, free good time. And you think that this guy is just doing this out of the kindness of his heart? No, he's a dirty old man. What do you think?
Yeah.
So when they pull up in this little boat, they have their guys with them.
Before they get on, we see that Graham and George Kennedy and all of them show up in a limo. And they're supposed to send the limo to these kids, but
that never happens.
But he gets out of the limo and he says to George Kennedy, damn it, those kids never showed up to the boat. They're not on the boat. And George Kennedy's like, good, because I don't want these stupid kids. We're trying to run away. And he's like, don't you think it's a good idea to have these kids on the boat with us? It's a good cover. I don't know what he's talking about there.
No.
It's not really a good cover because you don't want to get caught. If you get caught, it doesn't matter if these kids are with you or not.
Right, right. I don't understand that. That's right. I forgot that whole thing happened.
They actually get on the boat, and then the kids all show up to get on the boat with them, and they're already like out to sea. They like somehow get, oh, they take one of the kids' boats to the boat.
Yeah,
now, so they don't get know on, where that boat goes, but after that,
well, before they, yeah, the, it leaves them, it just takes them out there.
No, because it's his boat, remember, it had a name, and I was gonna write it down, the name of the boat. But they drive it over to the yacht, they get on the yacht, and before they actually drive it over to the yacht, Suzanne, I believe, finds the cat for some reason on the dock. Mm-hmm. Inside of a locked container.
You definitely don't know who Walter Graham is.
Well, sure, I've heard of him, but so he's made a lot of money. So what?
So what? This guy has been on the cover of Forbes magazine twice.
He's just a man. Horny like every other guy.
Yeah, well, he ain't the only horny one.
Shh, you guys hear that?
Genetic laboratory. This must be a lab animal. Must have gotten away.
You mean they're gonna cut it up and experiment on it?
No, not necessarily. But sometimes it is vital to...
No way! Not with this cat. I'm taking my little baby with me.
Okay, I have so many issues with this. Number one, I don't think a cat would be just frolicking around by the water. Cats don't like water, number one. And number two, how did it get into a locked freezer?
I don't, it's like, not, is it a freezer?
It looked like a freezer for bait.
I thought it was like a, to keep your life jackets and stuff in.
I don't know. Dock. It was a big white thing. It looked like a freezer.
Yeah, it was just shut. And the only reason they heard it is because the one looping of the cat meow is playing over and over and over until she opens it. And she says, oh, this is my, oh, my kitty now. And it's going to come with me to the boat.
Yeah. And what's impressive about this is that there's about 6 people on this little boat going out to the yacht. And not once does that cat monster come out of the cat.
Yeah. That's something I wanted to ask you about, too. Why did it take so long for the cat monster to show its true self in the science lab?
I don't know.
It waited till it was cornered?
Yeah.
Like, weren't you already in a cage?
He
you should
was
have done it
cage.
100 times.
Yeah, he could have killed them at any
and
time.
And how long did it grow? Like, how long has this been manifesting inside this body? And why did they only see it as a tumor?
Maybe it was fully grown to its utmost potential. And then it decided, hey, I am ready. I'm hard-boiled, and I'm ready to get out and just eat some throats out.
It's like a fight-or-flight situation.
Yeah.
Like, now we know the cat liked the mobile guy because he was giving them food, so much so that he got revenge for his beating.
Right.
Same thing might be going here. Like,
with Suzanne,
oh,
she
Suzanne's
rescued
petting
it.
Me.
She rescued it from the...
From, what, and so he's like, you know what? I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
Until I'm not.
Yeah, that's right.
And so she brings him on board this yacht, and they are like they're on the boat, and they all meet, and he's mad that he, of course, these two girls brought these guys. But not only that, they're like, Clue gets on board and says, hey, the FCC is looking for us and they're going to go search your boat. So he's like, we have to get to the Caymans. Now, this is the first time he says it. He says it at least 50 times after this scene.
Yeah. So now we know that he, that Mr. Graham, this rich asshole who owns the yacht, he is in cahoots with George Kennedy, and they're trying to cover up their criminal activity by going to the Caymans and getting the money out of the bank that he is hiding there. And they're just going to ride off into the sunset on the yacht and be rich people. Okay, fine. That's the plot. It's stupid, but that's the plot.
Yeah, and you would think that they have a lot of money. They have 3 suitcases of $1 million each.
So I wonder how much is in that bank that they're going to take out. So that's crazy. It's got to be a whole bunch of money because this guy's already rich.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, how much richer are you?
Which is weird that the $1 million in the suitcases seems so important to him.
Right.
I didn't understand any of that.
Right.
The only reason these kids get to stay on board is because they need a crew. Because the captain, who is a young woman.
I think that this girl is literally maybe 1 year out of high school. Okay.
It feels like
I don't understand how she is a captain of this boat. But can I also stress to you that you remember we've seen Overboard from 1987 with Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
She had a whole crew of people and a butler and a first mate and a captain and a this one and that one and people running the whole boat. You're telling me that you have one maybe 19-year-old girl running this whole entire yacht by herself?
Well, that's the complaint. She says she doesn't want to leave yet because she doesn't have her crew, because the crew didn't want to come back.
Well,
because
they couldn't afford it in the budget.
What, in the movie itself? Well, yeah, I have a feeling that
they can afford more people.
He's such a son of a bitch that no one wants to come and work for this yacht.
True.
And the only reason this woman, Rachel, is the captain of the ship is because it was hers, but she came under financial problems with her father, and he basically is holding it against her.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically forcing her to work for him, and she is kind of stuck doing it. It's the only reason. So she needs a crew, or they can't set sail. So they're like, hey, guys, if you want to stay on the yacht and go on this cruise. Now, I don't know why they would. I would have left the moment this guy was an asshole to me.
100%.
But they stay.
But the best thing is Bobby's like, oh, I have a whole crew for you. We can help run this ship or whatever. Okay, first of all, these guys have the combined IQ of a frozen tater tot.
No, that's not true. One of these guys in particular is a very smart individual. Okay. He's the single one.
He could be. Yeah, he's smart. He knows about genetics. Okay, so why is he on the boat? That's number one. But just because you're smart and you know about one area of science does not mean that you can run a whole yacht. I mean, I wouldn't know how to even push that thing in throttle.
They have nothing to do with that. In fact, the yacht, it probably in that stuff, it runs itself. They're just the crew. So he makes each one of them do a job that is like...
Yeah, one's on like cleanup duty. Yeah, one's on a maid. Like, one's a maid. One's on like kitchen staff, you know, whatever. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
and the two girls just get to hang out.
Oh, they get to hang out. Now, can I just make, I need to make a statement here, and this is most 80s movies, but this one just hits it so hard. So these two girls literally have not one solitary piece of luggage when they get on this ship.
And the guys don't either.
And the guys don't either. Now, they are showing up to this yacht in just string bikinis. In the next shot, when they're on the boat and they're dancing to the music, they are in dresses.
Yep.
The guys have changed. Yep. They all have different clothing on. Now, are you telling me this millionaire has a full stock of dresses on his yacht? Because, you know, girls just start flying in left and right and they're like, hey.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Because they literally have different shoes on. They have different everything.
Yeah. I'll do one better because I noticed you were laughing about this and you were writing it down. I saw you writing some notes and I knew that you didn't notice the one thing that you should have picked up on.
What was it?
The guy, the smart one in the group, is a biologist. He's a major in college for biology. He has a microscope. A giant microscope came with him.
Okay.
Where did he keep that one? You were talking about the luggage and their clothes. It could be reasonable that they had crew clothes on board, not the women's.
I mean,
but the men's, maybe. Where did all his biology equipment come from?
He's bringing something sensible on board, you know, for once.
I love it. Certain scenes, he holds it like it's a video camera.
Well, okay. Wasn't it? That was like some kind of nautical device.
There was an actual microscope.
I feel like, because the girl said, the captain said, oh, this is like, to, you know, for navigation purposes. And he's like, well, it'll still work in this situation. And he used it
that
way.
Is that what they said?
Yes, that was not a microscope. That was.
How does it work?
It was called something, I think, with a C.
Do you have a sextant?
Yes, why?
Can I take a look at it?
Okay, but Martin, a sextant's used for navigation.
I know, I just want to try it out for something else here. Do you have a prism or a magnifying glass, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any water? Any liquid at all?
Mm-hmm. And this thing is doing a microscope's job.
I mean, it really was. It was like a microscope.
It zoomed in and saw cells moving.
It did.
It's not you don't use that for, it's not like they were, it's not the telescope.
I mean, but they called it something.
Usually you put that on maps or something, right? You don't use that. You can't see like the germs on the map.
It was some kind of like a charting system, like a compass.
Yeah, but that doesn't work like that.
No, it
that
doesn't.
That means he had to have a microscope with
him. I mean, they made sure that whatever that nautical device was turned into a microscope.
Oh, my God.
He can help along the plot.
I'm glad we didn't get that scene.
He can help along the plot. He needed to. So,
well,
anyway.
Yeah, so I guess the important thing here is now the cat is on board, and we're going to get people being a jerk to the cat. Now the cat seems pretty chill with everybody, but that's when we get those lines like, hey, Puss, you want some food? And the guy chucks food at it for no reason, chucks food at a cat.
Yeah.
We also get Clue, who is a bumbling drunk idiot. He goes up, his name is Albert, by the way. He goes upstairs and he's supposed to drive the thing. They told him, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not a captain
but of
the
a
captain
boat.
Puts him in charge because he needs some sleep once in a while.
Yeah, so he has to watch the
while
the
he's
navigation.
Drinking an entire bottle of champagne and drunk off his ass. He's steering.
It's the best. It's and like literally the best.
He goes and
perfect.
Finds now again the cat is hiding in another box.
I don't understand what's happening. First of all, as much as I dislike cats and I'm not a fan of them, I think that what's going on here is borderline animal cruelty. They are putting this cat in situations that I think would traumatize the animal to, I mean, just beyond traumatize, beyond. I mean, the cat almost gets submerged in water. The cat is thrown into boxes with lids. He's probably having a nervous breakdown.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, they. That's what happens here is that Albert throws some champagne at it.
You want some of this, sweet little pussy?
Which clearly it is literally like some kind of red liquid. Maybe it's not champagne.
I think it's like wine or something.
Yeah, maybe it's wine, but still.
Boone's Farm. You know, billionaires get the Boone's Farm with them.
But they still are throwing things at this animal. Like,
yeah, and the cat, that's when the cat's like, you know what? I don't like you. And he rips out of the mouth and he attacks Albert and he bites his throat. And that's when we learn something really interesting about this movie, that the cat's bite it adds some kind of toxin to the blood that makes everything in the body want to burst.
Yeah. It's like some kind of contamination.
Yeah. Like radiation. And it makes, there's a lot of bladder effects where they have fake skin and they make it look like everything's bubbling.
Well, I can tell you this. Okay. This goes along with the 80s practical effects for no budget. Yes, it looked bad, but it was still
like more inventive than it should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to give this movie credit. I do. For literally having no budget. I mean, we've seen bigger budget movies with stupid crap effects. This one, has no budget, and they did a decent job. And they actually, their blood looked like real blood, as opposed to, like, you know, the shit that is used in a lot of Dario Argento movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Where it's clearly red paint. Yeah, just, you know, paint. You know, not talking smack about Dario. You know, I love Dario, but just saying that there's a big, that's a comparison right there. It's like Argento blood and
everything else.
Everything else. But I think they did good.
When Albert dies, he actually falls into the ocean. And what's funny is everybody else is inside listening to music and dancing, mm-hmm. but George Kennedy can hear his scream. So mm-hmm. he goes outside and sees the blood on the railing and goes, ah, shit, he's dead. So he goes and tells the other guy, he tells him, hey, I think he died and it fell overboard. And they're like, oh, crap. Let's hide this as long as we can.
Yeah, which is amazing because Graham, the millionaire, you know, he says, yeah, let's hide this. But you know what? They don't make any effort to clean up the blood or anything. They just leave it.
They leave it, which alerts everybody that he has fallen overboard.
Yeah, so Rachel, the captain, was looking for Albert. And she's like, I can't find him anywhere. And, oh, she stumbles upon the blood. And here's a question. I think, I don't know if you could answer this, and I don't think there really is an answer. But Albert was pretty ripped up, right? And I mean, he was bleeding and all fucked up.
Yeah, that's where the blood on the railings come from. It's smeared. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he falls over into the ocean, wouldn't that contaminate the ocean? His blood is leaking into the ocean.
It's not enough.
Well, I'm just saying, like, even if one fish nibbles at him.
I was thinking that same thing. What if a shark? Because they make a joke because George Kennedy just goes, yeah. He's shark bait.
I mean, I know, so I'm thought, overthinking
well,
this.
If a shark does eat him, are they going to continue to contaminate themselves? Or will it just normally be killed by the salt water and the rot of the ocean?
Okay, that could be true. That could, I mean, be, I know, possible. I'm overthinking it, but I had to ask because...
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because we don't really understand what's really happening. And there's no way to... I will say, though, the smart guy of the bunch sees the blood, comes up with the idea to go, hey, is this Albert's shirt? And then matches the shirt and the blood sample and realizes the blood is contaminated. And that he says, I think that whatever happened to him, he had some kind of illness and that he could have contaminated something else.
The whole place.
And then he's like, you know, it shouldn't be a bad thing because it would have to come in contact with your blood.
So, how would he know?
I don't know how he's discovering all of this.
I mean, there's always, okay, in these movies, there's always one know-it-all.
Yeah, because they have to force the exposition on us.
He doesn't know shit, but he knows everything about shit.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
I will say when, this is really funny too, because the cat is just the don't mess with me kind of a thing. When they start the engine, the cat happens to be sitting right next to it. And he gets startled by it starting. And he comes out of its mouth and he hits it. Because he's mad and he's like, don't you disturb my sleep. And he smacks that sucker and it makes it something happen to it, which continues into the story mm-hmm. that the boat is messed up.
Right.
But we don't know that. They don't know that yet, but there's a start of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the characters are going to start realizing it. But the girl finds out that Albert is dead and has fallen overboard. She wants to go back, but they talk her into taking money.
No, what they do is, so Graham knows that he's got her, you know, pretty much in the palm of his hand because she wants that yacht that once belonged to her father. That
she wants out of his business.
And so she wants out of the slavery that she's stuck under and wants that boat. So he says to her, I'm going to transfer the property ownership of the boat to you if you just get us to Grand Cayman and we will get our money and we'll go our separate ways and this boat will be yours. And so she's like, okay, but I still have to put this in my log.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she doesn't call the authorities, but she's, I mean, everybody in this movie has an agenda. It's like ridiculous.
And they've been sailing, they didn't find this out for hours. There's no way. And George Kennedy says, there's no way you'd find his body.
No way.
There's no way. It's gone now. We're wasting everybody's time.
Right.
So she's talked into it and she goes along with it a little bit. Although she does put in her log, hey, this guy went missing, mm-hmm. and this is what's going on. And my thought is that there's no way we're going to find him. So then things kind of escalate. So the way that they escalate is that
very quickly,
Graham gets really drunk and sees one of the girls, Bobby, doing some workout.
Now, this is very gratuitous. One of the things I love about these 80s trash movies is the gratuitous, sweaty, sexy body workout scene.
Yeah.
And it's literally for no reason.
The way they shot it.
Yeah, because 5 seconds ago, she was sitting around the pool or the hot tub
in a
completely different swimsuit, mind you. So she's got a whole
wardrobe. They started that. It's actually the other actress that they shot. They start the shot on her vagina.
And they like pan and around. They
slowly pan up. You don't even know what you're looking at first. You're like, oh, is this butt? Nope.
No.
It's the front there. And it zooms up. And she's a playmate, that one.
You could tell. Their bodies are slamming. I mean, beautiful, beautiful girls. Yes.
But I don't know if she's a playmate or she just was on the cover or whatnot. I'm not sure about that. But she was. And I you can kind of see that. Although they filmed the other girl way more sexually.
They do. Yeah. Bobby, who was in Waxwork.
Who's in Waxwork.
She plays Gemma for all of you Waxwork enthusiasts. No, let me tell you.
Not many.
I love that movie.
Waxwork 1 is fun.
You know I love that movie. Check it out. Yeah. She is in Waxwork 1. And yeah. I'm telling you, I love it. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's fun. But so she's doing this workout, and of course he comes onto her very heavy. Now, she's acting like, I'm working out, I don't want any part of you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, look, I'm going to be really rich, and you can come with me, and, you know, you've been teasing me too much. Now, this is another one of those moments that the cat ain't having that shit. Because this cat hates sexism.
This cat does not like much.
The cat is watching this, and he starts getting very mad when he starts touching her.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was just happy watching from the couch her workout.
Oh, yeah.
But when this guy puts his hands on her and starts, like, pushing it toward her, you know, her toward him, the cat freaks out.
Well, the game's over, you get out.
Oh, Walter, we're miles out to sea. Now, how am I going to get out?
We've got a lifeboat.
You wouldn't dare.
You want to bet?
Walter, now don't be stupid.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
And luckily, it can't show itself in time because that other guy shows up. And he's like, hey, get your hands off of her. He hits the guy from behind, Graham. And George Kennedy comes in and shoots at this kid and grazes him. Of course, the window behind him does not shatter or anything.
No.
The bullet just doesn't go anywhere, apparently. But he's grazed in the arm and he falls down. And that's when everybody kind of runs in because they hear the gunshot. Not everybody, but some people. George Kennedy is now attacked from under the couch by the cat, who comes out and bites through his shoes. Now, I would say, it doesn't look like his skin is being ripped.
No.
It's the shoe that looks like it's bleeding.
It's the shoe, and this is the best scene in the whole movie. I don't even care. I love this. I love this scene so much. He gets his foot so mauled by this cat, okay? And everyone's screaming, and he falls onto the couch. I can't help it.
Oh, it's unreal.
It is the... Like, picture, like a little child crying and with the quivering lip.
Yeah.
This is the acting that George Kennedy chose to do for this scene where he's in so much agonizing pain. He's got the quivering lip. Like, he's totally, like, I mean, I've never seen such overboard ridiculousness. And we've seen some ridiculousness. This acting on George Kennedy is probably the tops in ridiculous that we have seen in many, many years. It's just... He's sweating profusely. His foot is like all fucked up looking and bleeding, and its flesh is hanging off and stuff.
We see the vein pop, like bulging.
And the vein is bulging, and all of a sudden his chest starts bulging like something is going to, like, you know, like alien.
Like
a chest burster. And none of that happens. It doesn't burst. He just
dies.
He just... Bleh.
Which is a shame because after seeing another B-grade horror movie, Slugs,
yes,
which is another episode in itself. That's amazing. In that movie, there is this bizarre amount of special effects for no reason where slugs are in the blood system and it makes your body blow up.
Yeah.
And people in that movie burst.
Yeah.
It is unbelievably awesome looking, disgusting effects.
I feel like they should have done that here.
They should have done that here.
Because I feel like we needed the grossness.
Yes.
I mean, because we just sat through literally 10 minutes of his quivering lip acting.
And I know you're going to be mad about this because you were talking about how much you love George Kennedy. Before all this happens, he actually kicks one of the guy's asses. And by when I say kicks that guy's ass, it's a funny gut punch and then a small kick.
It's like they didn't have any money for like a fight choreographer or stunt guy. Like, so they probably had to practice this 6 times. And George Kennedy lifts his leg and kicks the guy with his, or he knees him.
He kind of just like budges. Like,
knees
like,
him.
And pushes him.
But his leg doesn't even come up that high. I'm like, oh man, George Kennedy just broke a hip.
Yeah. That's why I said George Kennedy seems like he's trying. Even with this dying sequence, I'm like, he's going for it.
I mean, I love him in this movie. Every bit of his asshole character that he is, his commentary, his overacting, his just complete ridiculousness, everything about George Kennedy in this movie, I love.
What happened? For God's sake.
The cat. The cat.
Oh. Rachel and I took a pretty good look at the blood.
Oh.
And it was mutating like nothing I've ever seen or heard about.
Oh.
Maybe the cat's got rabies.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, he's dead now.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I'm afraid so. It's a shame about Albert. I liked him.
Yeah, well, he's shark bait now.
He's dead. And they
him
toss
and
his...
Clue are both dead
yes,
in this movie.
Yes, Clue is already overboard, gone. And so they take George Kennedy. Now, mind you, okay, first of all.
I know,
I
thought about this
too. He's a huge motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a big
he's
dude.
He's a huge guy. And so they wrap him in a sheet and they toss him like a piece of freaking, like, you know, nothingness. And they toss him overboard. Now, there's only two skinny guys carrying this big fucker.
I was seeing that too.
To toss him over. And when they toss him, it looks like a mannequin wrapped up in a sheet. Yeah. Like, just like, it was so bad.
What's crazy is that they saw this monster. And by the way, the monster, they have the gun on the floor and they try to shoot it while after it bit George Kennedy. And it literally appears where all the alcohol is and all the alcohol is getting shot. But the monster's just going behind the alcohol. It's so funny
like,
looking.
Can't catch me.
Yeah. Like, you know what it really looks like? Another, I can name so many movies that we should have done on the podcast, but another one is Hobgoblins. It looks like one of the Hobgoblins.
It does.
Because it's hairy. It's weird. It looks like a dog creature. It's strange looking.
But I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie. Some of the practical effects for this movie with zero budget are damn good. I mean, it's so trash. It is.
It's.
But for an 80s movie with no budget, no, like, there's just no help on this movie at all. You can tell there was like a cameraman and a lighting person. That's it.
Yeah.
And they didn't even need a lighting person because most of this shit took place on a yacht in the freaking sunshine. So it was just crazy. Like, I'm all in for this. I don't care. I love this movie.
Well, now that they realize George Kennedy died from the bite, their blood, it's the creature that was in the cat will now affect your blood. So now they're very worried and concerned about getting bit or whatever, and they're trying to figure out how to deal with it. But a lot of them don't believe it's a cat monster. They don't. The one girl that brought it on board is like, it can't be.
Right.
It can't be the cat, you know? Yeah. But yeah, some of them saw it. So they're freaking out. So they're all trying to come up with a plan of how to deal with this. But at the same time, the boat breaks down. Mm-hmm. And they run after George Kennedy dies. They basically go to call the port authority and everything and say, this is what's going on. But Graham comes in there with his gun and shoots the thing and threatens to shoot the girl in the head unless she drives to the Cayman Islands.
Yeah, I have another issue that I'd like to bring up on this. Okay, and this guy's a millionaire. Okay, he's a millionaire. He has money. He has this yacht. Now, this is like the worst 80s cliche that, oh God, the fucking car won't start when it needs to.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the boat won't start. Are you serious? This is like a bazillion dollar yacht. And you're telling me that the engine broke down on this thing?
Because the cat swatted it. Remember? That's what I said already. The cat swatted the engine and blew it up. Cat was mad that it was sleeping and the engine startled him and he smacked it.
What, he booped it? Is that what you're saying?
There's a shot of when he smacks it.
He booped the engine and
because
it broke down.
At certain times, his hand grows in size randomly.
Oh my God.
So in that shot, it is like a giant bear claw. And it knocks the damn engine out. And it blows up at this point. And But the thing is, they're able to take Graham hostage. They actually get him by using a fire extinguisher, and they get the gun and they put it on him and they lock him in a room. And so now the whole crew's got to figure out, how do we stop this creature and how do we fix the engine? So we have a plot line where the captain and the smart guy they're having a meet cute. Mm-hmm. They're starting to like get a crush on each other. Although she does turn her head when he like randomly goes to kiss her at one point, which is weird. It's not a good moment, dude. Not
I know,
a good moment.
Like, you guys are trying to fight for survival and you're just going to be like, oh, let's get romantic.
But they're the only ones trying, because everybody else, on the other hand, decides to go off and do their own thing. So we have a sex scene, I guess it's weird, where a guy pretends to be the cat in a hallway while the girl's getting naked, which is the one that brought the cat on board who caused all of this in the first place.
No, it's not her.
Yeah, it is her.
It's Bobby.
No.
Isn't it? No, it is.
You're thinking about another one. That's the other scene.
I'm talking
about the rich guy, and the girl gets naked on the bed and he comes in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's meowing outside the door and she's like, please go away for the love of God. And then he's like, it's just this puss. And he comes in the doorway and they fool around. And instead of having sex with her, although she's naked, he just starts talking about how I got big plans.
I'm going to be famous and I'm going to be rich and I'm going to work on Wall Street and I'm going to have all these things. And then she just like gives up and just like lays down on his chest.
Yeah. And the only reason.
What a freaking bummer.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird. And the only reason he's saying all this is that he made a pact with Graham. He's like, I'll split money with you. You'll be rich. Just help me get out of here. Make no more hiccups happening. Mm-hmm. Find a way to get me out of here. So he's like, yeah, I trust him now.
Yeah.
And I've got big plans. And he goes, big plans for me. And the girl's like, yeah, I'm into you.
Yeah.
And she goes, that's why I'm into you. I mean, knew from the moment you had big plans.
I guess she's a twit.
Yeah, she's a real idiot. But then the same goes for the other couple now. Now, this is one of my favorite sequences in the movie.
Oh, my God. This is
where
second best scene in the movie.
Bobby goes to her boyfriend, who's the one that got grazed by a bullet.
Yeah.
Now, he only got grazed. He has so much blood on a bandage on his arm. It's like he really got shot. And he makes a joke that he has lost feeling in his arm and thinks that's funny. That is weird.
Well, they start kissing and he goes, whoa, I didn't lose feeling anywhere else in my body.
Yeah. And she's like, ooh, maybe I can check that out for you. And they have a makeout sequence where we have to hear the entire slurping of their tongues.
Oh, my God. This is an 80s
that goes on for a
slurp,
while.
Slurp. Okay. This is the worst. It happens in tons of 80s movies where they put the mic too close to the couple and all you can hear is.
It's crazy.
It's awful. Awful. But the best thing about this is that
this is the best.
She starts to like get a little bit on him and pulls the blanket back and the fucking cat is eating his finger.
Yeah, because he can't feel. Can she? And she goes, let me check that feeling in your arm. And then the cat's just munching on his finger. When they startle the cat, the fingers fall out of his mouth.
It's
and
amazing.
You can clearly see his fingers are still there. It's so bad. But he's screaming. And she's screaming, and then he just jumps up and says, I have the poison in my blood. And he starts running, and he decides to commit suicide by jumping off the boat. But before he does, the girl's like, no. And he's like, I got the poison in my blood. I got the poison.
I'm contaminated.
And he's screaming. And then the other guy, the guy who wants to get rich, his best friend, is up on deck, and he goes, what are you doing? And he goes, I got the poison in my blood. I have poison. And she's like, don't do it. Now he falls off deck and somehow pulls her into the ocean with him.
Did you see that thing? Did you see it? I got the poison in my blood.
Wait,
I got the poison in my blood.
And the other two guys run down and they jump in the ocean to go find them. They just have vanished.
Yeah, they're gone.
She died instantly by going into the ocean.
Like, she just jumped overboard, which wasn't very high.
She just fell. Was she knocked out?
Yeah, what the hell?
What happened to her?
Yeah, she just disappeared.
She just disappears. They cannot find her.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't drown. Like, you still have a fight or flight. Like, even if he wants to die, he has to make himself die. You know what I mean? Like, he would have to drown himself. But when you hit the water, you unintentionally go up to the top. Like, I don't think that he's, like, literally like, no, I'm going to drown myself instantly.
Yeah.
You kind of got that instinct and not. The fact that he's just so ready to die is insane. Unless they're saying that both of them were poisoned because she was making out with him while he was getting eaten by the cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're suggesting, that they both were intoxicated. They were both infected. And they burst in the water somehow?
Yeah, maybe.
I have no idea. They just disappear.
I mean, he was contaminated big time because his fingers were getting eaten off, but she was also slurping all over his face.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, that's it for them. They exploded underwater. Let's just go with that.
Let's just go with that because they're just gone. They don't mention them. They just show that they didn't find them. And now we're down to five.
Yeah. Well, are we at five only?
We're down to the main five. And now the jock guy, he comes up with the plan to let Graham come out and help them. Because we're like, we need all the help we can get to fix the engine. And we start seeing the deterioration of the other girl who brought the cat on board.
Yeah, oh my God. She's starting
to lose her shit. And her acting gets increasingly worse as the movie goes on.
It's quite terrible.
There's a scene where they're trying to start the engine. And she just stands up into the camera and goes, oh my God, please, God, please. And then it doesn't start. And she goes, and sits down. It's unbelievable. And then her boyfriend or whatever, after they get Graham to help out and they go in shifts to do certain jobs, they're also starting to realize that any food that wasn't in cans is contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
So they can only drink stuff that's closed and hasn't been touched by the cat.
Right. Which I was laughing because I was like, wait a minute. She tells the guy, I'm starving to death. I'm literally starving to death.
Yeah.
But there's cans of food you can eat. I mean, what happened to the cans of food?
Well, they're rationing it.
Yes, but they only... Okay, so it's only literally been 7 hours since they've had their last meal. She's starving to death.
And they keep talking about how the cat is getting hungry. And I was like, he just ate like four people recently. Like, he just had an entire finger sandwich.
Finger food.
Yeah, finger food. I mean, he should be fine, but I guess the cat is famished. Because, you know, they're really worried about it now. And... Yeah, they all start trying to come up with a plan, and the one guy comes up with a plan to, he has food and he has poisoned it heavily, and he's going to put traps all around.
Right.
So he goes off at one point.
The cat is too smart for that.
The cat is way too smart. And at one point he goes after the cat, and the cat shows up when he's doing this one thing, and he accidentally hits a valve and it blows the steam into his face.
Kills himself.
He accidentally gets killed because the cat startled him. And his face is like just gutted.
Okay, here is another practical effect that I loved. I loved it. Okay, I think this movie needs to be seen. Anyway, me talking about it doesn't do it any justice.
Yeah.
But he looks like a jelly sandwich. Like a jar of jelly.
He looks like Hellraiser.
He does. It's awesome. It's really good for no budget.
This one looks decent. Not like the finger sandwich thing.
No.
Yeah, the finger foods. That didn't look so good. But yeah, so now we're down to four. And that's when they're getting worse. Mm-hmm. Because after this incident, they found a rip to the food source. And they said that the cat was too hungry. And had got in somehow. They said, it looks like he clawed through the metal. He used his paws to get through the metal. Okay,
it's sure. Impressive. Yeah.
They make a reference in this movie about how that he seems to... The guy actually starts sciencing the hell out of this cat. Because he's like, you know, I think that they pumped some kind of steroid into it. And I think the cat is like, its genes have like... spliced and now it's super strong.
Yeah. Now, can we just we forgot to mention that when the group, before they got on the yacht, when they found the cat, the collar the cat was wearing had fallen off and it said property of such and such medical lab.
I was wondering about that, yeah.
Now, if that's not some kind of like eye-opener, maybe a red flag to maybe call some kind of animal control and say, this cat, there's something wrong. It's been medically tested on.
Yeah, and she actually points that out. She goes, I wonder if that had anything to do with the science tag we found on it.
Yeah. So she finally figures out, stupid twit, right? Suzanne, right?
Oh, it's all about her.
I mean, she's the worst. And she's the asshole that brought the fucking cat on board. Now, you have a freaking medical tag like that.
Yeah.
I would never pick up a cat like that. Like, you don't know what that... I would never pick up
a cat in general, like just a stray? Like, no.
Yeah. It belongs at some isolated island somewhere. Like, come on. It's not right. There's something wrong. I don't care what they're pumping into it. Something's wrong there.
You never know when there's a hidden dog creature inside of a cat's mouth. You never know.
Seriously, you know? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Oh, we're saving it. It's fine. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, she has a couple speeches throughout this section of the movie where she mentions how we're all going to die.
The acting is terrible.
It's incredible.
She's a terrible actress.
This made me laugh. This is one of the highlights to me, her, every time she speaks.
We're all gonna die out here. I mean, let's face it, we're all gonna die on this stupid boat.
Take it easy, Suzanne. We're not gonna die. We're gonna survive.
He's right, Suzanne. We're gonna make it. We'll have that engine fixed in no time, right, Martin?
That's right. We've almost got it. If we give up now, we might as well just lie down and die. We're gonna get out of here if we just keep fighting.
You're lying. Give up lying! We're never gonna get out of this alive. We're all gonna die. That thing's gonna bite us. And we're all gonna die a horrible death.
Well, she goes so crazy at one point that she goes to the food source and says, I knew it all along. They were lying. They wanted it all to themselves. And so she starts eating loose food. And this is my favorite thing, is the cat's sitting there right above the food. And he just goes, meow. And he goes, she's, you know, you're not a bad guy.
The cat's literally sitting on the food she's eating.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But I mean, it's next level dumb.
Yeah.
Like, this whole entire event is her fault. But it's just the point that, like, yeah, we know she's going to die. But the whole entire point of her eating this food that the cat is literally sitting on gets all that much better when we see her death and she has those splatter tubes coming out of her neck and all that stuff. And
the bladder effects.
The bladder effects, right? And she's bleeding and stuff everywhere. Yeah. But the actress was told by the director, obviously, to hold the lantern that she was walking around with up to her face so
they could see all the effects.
So as she's dying, she's making sure to hold the lantern by her face, which this just goes to show they had no lighting department. They had nothing. Okay? I mean,
it's even without the lantern, it's still working, though. It's still, you can still see
it. You can still see it. Yes. But I mean, I felt bad for this actress because she had to make sure that the lantern was held right there in place so we can see her bloody death, which was epic, by the way.
Yeah, it's funny. I love that the cat doesn't like, I want to eat her. He just watches her die.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Like, I thought this cat was ravenous.
I know. If he's so famished, like, why isn't he eating them?
Right.
Like, there's corpses everywhere for him to eat.
Yeah.
Like, the guy who got his face steamed off. Like, just eat his body at this point.
Right.
I guess he wants alive food, or does he only get hungry when he's mad at somebody?
Yeah, I don't know. True. He's very temperamental. Yeah. But now we're down to just the three.
Which, this is where the movie's like, we got to wrap it up. So the movie goes, oh, we have a random storm approaching.
Yeah, let's ramp this up. Let's ramp it up so that we can just end this movie. But what's really impressive to me is that Graham, the main villain in this movie, he makes it to the very end until he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, he actually sees a hole in the wall with water coming and he goes, stop it.
He tells the fucking
do something captain about
of
it.
The boat that she's supposed to blow. First of all, this hole is like a cannonball.
It's just shooting water. It's just so insane. And then the boat fills up so quick. Now, this is the best. They could not afford to have the boat, the real yacht, being shot in any kind of storm situation. So they made a miniature toy version of it.
It's the best.
And they put it in his bathtub and they have it on a string and you can see it being pulled.
I love it so much. I love this boat.
So then we cut to the inside of the boat and it's fully almost submerged underwater. And Graham goes for his suitcases of millions. He comes out with one and they're trying to get the boat.
The lifeboat.
The lifeboat, which I can't believe they didn't do earlier.
Right. Why didn't they get in the lifeboat earlier?
Yeah. They try to get the lifeboat out and they're trying to, during the storm, and Graham throws a couple of suitcases into it. And then he says, I got one more. So he goes back inside and wouldn't you know it, the suitcase is being guarded by the cat.
Right. Now I feel bad for this cat because it's literally,
it seems there's scared.
Water everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's almost touching its feet. And you can tell it's kind of scared. It's scared.
Yeah,
it's
probably
scared. And I felt bad. So this asshole. Okay, now this is another question. This guy is a millionaire. Why does he go back for the last suitcase?
Which is like $1 million. Right. He already has two in the boat.
Right.
And he has more at the place.
Yeah. And he has a whole bank full of money in Cayman Islands. Why are you risking your life? The boat is almost underwater.
Yeah.
So if this asshole goes in, I'm like, okay, this is the big epic moment where he's going to get it.
He does.
He does.
The creature just jumps at him and they have a wrestle fight. You know, he's got the stuffed animal and he's wrestling it underwater.
It's so fun.
And it just kills him instantly.
It's so fun though. It is.
And we don't know where the cat goes after that. Well, what we do know is that the one guy goes back for him. I don't know why, but he finds his corpse and then runs back out. And the other girl has, by the way, they're together now. They like kissed already and everything. She put the boat in the water and he has to jump off into it. So he jumps off and climbs into the boat during the storm. And now the way that they shot, this is amazing. This is a true facts. They shot this in his swimming pool at his house, the director. And they're just rocking the boat back and forth. So every shot is them shooting hoses on them and they're rocking the boat back and forth. And the two actors have to sit in the middle and say dialogue while being shot in the face with water. And their dialogue is so bad. And they're almost laughing in every attempt.
It really is bad.
He says, why was Graham so interested in these suitcases? They open it up. And he's like, it looks like $1 million. And she goes, you can finance your biological research and I can get a new boat.
That's a perfect time to talk about your future plans.
Yeah. But then they go, and then this is my favorite. This ending is one of the funniest bits I've ever seen in a movie. He goes, wait a minute, not too soon. The cat's here. And they just point. And then you see the cat is on the side of the boat going, rawr! And then they're like, oh no. And it jumps at him. And he catches it right before his face and he's like, oh, and he just chucks it into the ocean. And then she goes, are you okay? And he's getting shot in the face with water. And he says, I don't think it hurt me. I think I'm great. But wait a minute, it's not over yet. And then he points again and the same shots of the cat on the side of the boat jumping on his face again happens.
It's so great. It's so great.
So they chuck it. They're like, he's not going to give up. This cat is not going to give up because we're the only floating thing in the ocean. They're like, throw the suitcase in and he's going to throw the $1 million away. But then she goes, I have a bag. Put it in the
She bag. Has this magical duffel bag that appeared out of nowhere. And they dump the money in and he throws a suitcase like he was throwing like a life preserver to the cat.
And the cat is on it like Titanic.
Oh my God.
And the cat is just, it's not even the cat, it's the monster is floating on the suitcase just looking at them like, ah.
Now, mind you, I would be doing everything possible to drown this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Okay, no, but they cheer. They're saving it.
They actually cheer. Yeah, we did it.
Yay.
And the next shot is they're in the Cayman Islands, mm-hmm. and they are being like, I don't know what's happening here.
Well, they're reporting the whole incident.
Yeah.
They actually reported it, did the right thing. So we're like, oh, okay, they got the money. They have the money.
They have clean clothes on.
Yep, clean clothes. They're going to...
And they get away with it.
They're going to get away with it, but not before we see the cat and the suitcase on the beach walking around as the cat, okay? And this little boy runs up to the cat and says, wee, kitty. So we know this is going to start all over again.
Yeah, this is like a Jumanji moment it where is. The Jumanji's on the beach.
And Finn.
Yeah, Finn.
And I feel like we need a part two.
And we point out that the cat is a different color cat.
It's a
black cat, this time.
Is it there? Are they suggesting that the monster jumped in the cat, another cat's body?
I don't know.
Like hijacked it? Is that how it works?
Are there several cats just roaming about on the sands of Grand Cayman Island?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I mean, honestly.
Like, huh, you look like a choice number. Let me jump into you.
Yeah, exactly. You look like you got nothing going on.
Oh my god, I love this movie.
So my question is, if I'm not mistaken, he had three suitcases of money. He threw two in there.
Yeah.
And then he went back for the third.
Yeah.
But in the next scene, there's only one.
Oh, well, because... Well, the two suitcases were in the boat, and so she dumped one of the suitcases, the money, in the bag. So he was able to throw another suitcase.
No, the suitcase that he empties into the bag is the one he throws.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's the second suitcase? Where's the other $1 million?
I'm assuming it's in the boat.
Yeah, it's so weird. Why didn't they get $2 million?
I have no idea. I'm assuming that it's still in the boat. So, like, just say they got $2 million. Say they got $1 million each.
All right.
That's, I mean, are I we guess. Even questioning this anymore? I mean, they are able to change clothes when they didn't even have a solitary duffel bag of clothes with them. Like, really?
All right. This is the epitome of, like, so bad.
So it's bad, good. It's good.
Yeah, this I movie love this is. Movie. This I think this has to be seen. I think that people who aren't able to laugh at how bad this is and, like, how ridiculous and. It's the most insane friggin' movie I have seen in a long time.
It's insane. It's so much fun. This whole movie, it's like, you can't help but be like, oh my God, like, why? Why? But at the same time, I mean, we've seen so many movies, you know, like Cameron Mitchell and Robert Zadar and all these, like, you know, bad movie all-stars. But they don't have, like, that punch in the gut, like, silliness factor that this one does. I mean, some of them do.
Are you suggesting those people don't have movies that are this good?
No, they do. But I mean, like, we've seen a lot. Like, I'm just trying to make an example. Like, we've seen a lot of bad movie trash. And they're, you know, so bad it's good in their own way. But this one just has everything. It does. It, like, has everything. I read off the list earlier of all the things it has. And it's just so much fun. It's just a fun movie. And at the end, you're left, like... What did I just watch? But yeah. I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
You know? So what did you give it the first round?
I'm going to stay by my score. This is a, like, in every sense of the word, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's why I give it a 4 out of 10.
Much more than that.
It's a 4 because it is really bad. It's just so much fun. And I always say on the show, I give So Bad It's Good 4 stars usually. And I definitely think this is on that list of you have to see this once. This is insane, this film.
Yeah, well, I think I was way too generous the first time.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy, yeah.
I mean, I gave it a 6 the first time.
That's... it's a terrible movie.
I
mean,
it's a terrible movie. Upon the second viewing, I will say I did still laugh, though.
Oh, it's amazingly bad.
And
yeah.
I appreciate so much of the things they were trying to do on no budget, you know? But, you know, I guess I'll drop it down to a 5. I still loved it. I loved it. This movie is...
None of it makes any sense. There's no logic to it. The acting is terrible. The effects are insane.
There's no rhyme or reason at all. It's still so much fun.
You can see the puppet hand. You can actually see the arm of the puppeteers.
Yeah, but we watched so many other movies like that. Like Evil Toons.
No, but I'm just saying. Is this better? Yes. But is it 5? Is it mediocre? No way.
I like it. I'm dropping it from a 6. I was too generous the first time.
All right. So we're saying this isn't the worst movie ever made. No, we enjoy this.
Oh my God. Yeah. Not
this
even.
Is not even cracking our top 5 of the worst movies ever made because we're giving it a 4 and a 5.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah.
I think this movie should be seen. I think it's fun.
I definitely think this needs to be watched.
Yeah, it's called Uninvited from 1988, and there's a lot of confusion. So, if you look up this movie, you'll get The Uninvited, and you'll see like a lot of different Uninviteds from different years.
Yeah, and I wonder if I said in the opening, The Uninvited. I hope I didn't, because it is one that I feel like I should say The.
Yeah, because you feel like you should, but it's Uninvited.
Killer Cat.
And I'm going to drop mine down to a 5. You're giving it a 4. But that brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out 2 extremes of online reviews, a 1 10-star and a 1 1-star. Yes, there are 10-star reviews on this. as proof that people cannot review movies and they fuck it up for everybody else. Because this, I'm going to start with a 10 star, just because.
Give me the name, too. I want to know.
Okay. You'll love it. So, 10 out of 10. Killer Cats Rule. And this is by Hardcore Knight.
Nice.
All I can say is, yes, this film is very cheaply made. However, what do you expect when you rent a film about a killer cat with a rabid mutant in its mouth? It's made for kicks, though the only good acting was from the cat, and the rest of the cast was laughably bored. Though I admit I like this film, for the simple fact I love cats, even though they are horrible, they are all horrible movies. I mean, Killer Cats, Cujo worked and it was convincing, but Killer Cats, give me a break. It was a nice try and an original idea, though cheap effects and bad acting ruined the film. Too bad they never made a sequel. I would have rented it.
Nice.
Okay. Well, that review was asked backwards because you gave it a 10, but then you're crushing the whole entire
movie.
Somebody
wants to try to sway the whole rating system, which never makes sense to me.
Right. And then we have this. 1 out of 10, rubbish. Mick Jensen is the name of this person. Any rating above 1 is insane for this steaming pile of horse manure. Movies simply do not get worse than this. The acting is atrocious, the plot is absurd, the editing and lighting is amateurish beyond belief, and the cinematography is extremely uninteresting. The special effects stink, and the dialogue is laughable. There's some very attractive ladies to watch, but their lack of talent is astounding. Every male in this travesty is a foolish idiot, especially the owner of the yacht. I never thought I'd come across a worse film than Radical Jack, but this stinker is the worst gob of slob to ever be wretched out of the intestines of a cat. That I read it just how it was. Yeah, I don't.
Was that everything?
Yeah, I've never seen Radical Jack. Okay,
so but, I have two things to say to him. Radical Jack, I'm going to mark down on my thing, and two, Star Wars Holiday Special in Dinosaur Island.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch this.
There's so, worse dude, movies out there, man. You haven't seen nothing. So, yeah. I say watch this movie. It was a hoot. It was a hoot. It was bad. It has a whole bunch of, like, you know, goofy, terrible acting. Absolutely atrocious acting. It's true. But it was very, like, for the no budget, it was different. The practical effects were decent. So, like I said, we've seen movies with higher budgets with shitty practical effects. I mean, really shitty. These were not that bad.
Yeah.
Like I said, I really do have an appreciation for people who use blood that looks like blood. Okay?
Well, you did talk about the beginning with the black paint. Yeah.
But you cleared that up because you said there was...
It might be the way they shot it.
Yeah, the lighting. Yeah. I do agree that could be a factor. But otherwise... I like this movie, and I'm going to say this, okay? It is worth every bit of the $4 that I paid for this, and I would pay it again, because this movie was a hoot.
Yeah, I was talking, we were shocked, because I read that this had an HD restored version on from Vinegar Syndrome, and I heard that there was another version of this, another cut. Where I guess it was a foreign version where the opening and the ending are different. And I wonder what that movie, the differences are, because what could they have changed? I heard also that there's more minutes in it and that they establish the characters more. But I was like, what would you give those characters? What could be established more on these characters? I have no idea. I don't know how to watch that version.
Well, I can tell you this. Vinegar Syndrome is selling this version that you're speaking of for $24.99.
That's insane.
And it gets worse. It's completely sold out on their website.
Yeah.
So people do like this movie. I'm not the only
Well, Vinegar person. Syndrome specializes in movies like this. The ones that you would never, in a million years, get a good DVD release.
Right. Well, yeah. This is like the Blu-ray.
Yeah. You know, we have the Miami Connection, one of those. And it's like, there's no way you can make this look better. Like, I was laughing. Just the fact that it was in HD made me laugh, and I had to have it. It's almost like a collector's item in hilarity.
I mean, I feel like if I bought this for you for Christmas, and you asked me what I paid, obviously I won't lie to you. I'll tell you the truth. If I paid $25 for this, would you be pissed?
Yes. Yeah. We're next week's movie, we actually got from Vinegar Syndrome. Yeah. So that when I saw it, I laughed. I said, the fact that this exists on this DVD is mind-blowing to me, because we watched next week's movie in a 50 movie pack that we got for $10 once. Yeah. And it's so bad that I can't wait to revisit it, because I haven't seen it in like 15 years. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I guess it's been that long.
When I opened that box and I saw that was in there, I was like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me that this exists. So the same goes for this, that The Uninvited has a special edition. It is mind blowing.
Yeah.
I said the
no, Uninvited. It's just Uninvited.
Uninvited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I say yes.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Definitely the list of so bad it's good. When people say what's so bad it's good, the movies that you watch with a bunch of friends with drinks,
yeah,
this is definitely on that list.
Yeah, and you could probably find this on YouTube.
It's on maybe. YouTube right now. For
is
free.
It? Yes. Okay, there you go. You got that, Beck? You listening? Homework.
If you haven't seen it already.
Yeah, tell me that you think this is rubbish, or if you think it's magic like I do.
Nice. Especially if you like cats.
Yep.
All right. Any last parting thoughts?
No, that's it. This is fun. I really had a good time with this movie. I like it.
Yeah, it was a good revisit.
For sure.
I wouldn't even say it was. I didn't remember half the movie.
I remember the one major scene with George Kennedy getting his foot.
I didn't remember that. I remember the monster. I remember the cat. That's it. So this was good, because we went in. It's been so long that it's like a fresh start.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, all right. So thanks for listening, everybody. As always, hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night. That's me and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. And we would love to hear your takes. We would love to hear why you love cats with monsters in their mouths.
Yeah, just let me give you just some shameless, ridiculous plug information. I am making Valentine's Day earrings, fellas. So if you're listening, hook yourself up. I'll gift wrap everything for you. Go to thecraftymisfit.com. Get your girl some pretty earrings. There's my shameless plug.
I liked it.
Shameless.
All right, guys. Until next time, have a good one.